Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Listening to Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and we're here at Roberta's at the home of Heritage Radio Network. As usual, it's Monday and it's pretty brisk. It's been chilly lately. It's kind of the dead of winter, and it might not be the best time to shop or go out of your way and make it through a blizzard or something like that to go to a farmer's market. Or you might not have a winter CSA, and that's, you know, the last thing on your mind is you know, summer and you know, joining one. So I'm really excited to have a couple of guests on today who have a startup or are starting up a new company. I don't know if you can call it a startup if it's not like a super technological thing, but it is very exciting. It's called Quincipal, and it basically allows you to shop locally from local farms with really great food. Like, really good food products, not just sort of, it's local, but, like, they choose the best food, and they put it together in a weekly box that you can get, and they provide some recipes, but really allow you to do a lot with it. Am I getting the gist here or not?
You do, yes.
Okay, so that is co-founders Marcus Jacoby and Kate Galassi. How are ya?
We're awesome.
I should just leave it to you to explain what Quincipal is, right?
Well, first of all, I think you can actually call it a startup.
Oh.
It is a weekly grocery food delivery service. So what we do is we source from a few dozen farms every week, products from meat products, dairy products, produce, snacks, starch
bread,
products.
Bakeries, bread, bakeries, cheese makers.
Pack them up and bring them to our customers' homes.
And it's not, if you're familiar with CSAs, which is you kind of like, you sign on with this one farm and you get their produce throughout a season, how is it different from that?
Well, you sign on, so it's a subscription service, but we source from next week, I think 30 farms, and each week 10 new farms join our portfolio in that sense. So you get a variety of a supermarket, basically. Mm-hmm. But most of the products come from, as you said, local farms.
Okay.
From New York City, from around New York City.
Well, one of the big differences about how we source versus working with a CSA, in addition to, you know, this wide variety of farms that we work with, we do work with some farms that aren't local, because we wanted to be realistic about what people want in the winter. You don't just want sweet potatoes and celery root and black radishes every week. You want some greens, and everybody eats citrus and rice. And we wanted to bring those foods that people were going to the grocery store and buying anyway, but we wanted to get them from phenomenal farms. So we have brown jasmine rice in next week's box, but it comes from a tiny 20-acre farm in Louisiana, and I've been to the farm and I've met the farmer. So it's kind of combining the best of a CSA in terms of buying directly from the farmer, but with being more realistic about what kind of food people want to eat every week.
Right. So it's a kind of like a curated selection of the best of the best, right then.
Absolutely.
Is this similar to what similar roles that you've done before? I know you're a forager for the Spotted Pig and then Allswell, Kate?
Yes. So that was another big motivation behind what we wanted to do. We wanted to take the same quality food that restaurants have access to, you know, Roberta's among them, but often that kind of food doesn't make its way into grocery stores or small retail
shops. Foods, bodegas.
Exactly. So we wanted to, you know, I've been working with all these farms, a lot
Nothing
of them
against Key Foods, by the way.
No, Key Foods is a total Brooklyn staple.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I wanted to take those relationships that I've had with farms for years, some of them in California, some of these totally awesome, tiny organic farms in the hills of Ojai, and get those foods directly to people.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like there's a lot of rich story and just a wonderful, yeah, just history about each selection that you have each week. Do folks get to choose, like, what kind of a box they'd like each week, or, like, what happens?
Well, right now, there's no choice. So mm-hmm. we have one selection of products. For the future, we would love to add more variety to what kind of boxes or selections people mm-hmm. get. Also the sizes. Right now, right. It is, we always say it's a two-people box.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're committed to that selection, but not necessarily any certain recipe, right? Because you can make a lot of different things.
Exactly. I mean, we put recipes in and tips and ideas how to prepare the products mm-hmm. we bring. But at the same time, we encourage people to just do what they feel comfortable doing with those products. And if there's an evening that you say, oh, what do I do with that sweet potato? You know, there will be most likely one or two recipes in the box giving you an idea what you could do.
Letting you be creative. Because I've been hearing a lot of things about these, like, recipe boxes and order, you know, some of the bigger places, like even Fresh Direct, have that kind of service where you can just click and, like, have all these pieces of, you know, like, one single serving's worth of,
tomatoes or cabbage or mm-hmm. two tablespoons of olive oil.
Quincipole is totally different from that, or
we consider ourselves entirely different, yes, mm-hmm. because we are not a recipe box. You don't get exactly the amount of produce you need to prepare one or two meals, so mm-hmm. we have a pound of potatoes in it, or a third of a pound cheese, even though you might just need 1.5 ounces to put on your sandwich, or mm-hmm. In that sense we are more a farmer's market box with the addition of a few recipes and a few ideas of what you could do with the products you get to your home.
And about the two-person serving thing you mentioned, Kate, because I had the pleasure, I will let you know now, of trying their first boxes last week. And I was able to feed, I think, four people with what was in that box. Easily, actually. There's, like, plenty of snacks left over. Let me tell you what I did, because I'm so excited to share. I had some friends who were, like, working late in a long meeting, and so I opened up the box, totally didn't know what was inside it, and there was, like, a beautiful loaf of Grand Daisy's Bakery's, what was it? Rye?
Pane sette grani.
Yeah, that. It was really good. And then there was a beautiful wedge of cheese that was, what was that, Tome?
The Alpha Tolman. It's the newest cheese from Jasper Hill.
Yeah, the Jasper Hill. Oh, it was so good. And then, you know, so I set that out with some really beautiful apples and some oranges for snacks while I made some pasta, because you had this really great shaped pasta in there. And then you had some meat from Dixon's Farm Stand Meat. Sauteed that with some of the onions that were in this thing. The only thing I didn't use was the sweet potato. And then there was some really good yogurt, so I just mixed that all into the pasta, and then there was fresh mint, so I mixed that in. I know it sounds weird, but it was actually so good.
That's great to hear.
It was really good. So thank you for that. And you did have recipes in there, I did see it, but I was, like, kind of in a rush, and I feel like you get to be playful. It allows you to, you know, if I were shopping in a market, if I crashed through there, I would have come up with a different, but probably still, you know, fairly good selection. It opened my eyes in ways that I didn't realize, you know, about cooking.
I mean,
yogurt.
with the products we include in the box, we try to bring you things you would need anyway, which you would buy in another supermarket weekly basis. It's not a specialty box or a gift box, which you find many out there. Whole Foods is, or, you know, giving out gift or offering gift boxes, but it is what you actually would buy every week again. Lettuce, greens, you know, potatoes, pasta.
Yeah, it's a well-rounded
cheeses,
selection to make a meal.
And that
out
is
of.
Something we we feel really strongly about, to offer something what people need on a regular basis to prepare their food,
rather than specialty
things.
I like that because, you know, I find that a lot of people just aren't really sure what a whole meal should be or could be. You know, or sweet potatoes, what do I do with them? It's the same, you know, it's the type of thing you might get from a CSA, but it seems easier to put together because there's no pasta or, say, you know, in a typical CSA share.
Right, and no yogurt. If you, you know, have a CSA with a produce farm, you
probably not
going to
have
yogurt.
You know, well, we've seen some, you know, add-ons that you could do,
but
yeah, I mean, have you guys ever been a member of a CSA? Just curious.
I've worked on a farm that was a CSA farm.
So I've been on the other side. CSA shares.
I haven't been a member of a CSA.
Yeah.
I tried some of the, you know, food delivery services out there.
You tried them?
In preparation for what we are doing.
For what you're doing. What were you inspired? Why were you inspired to start this up?
Well, it was basically... the service is something which I wished would exist a year ago. I live in the Upper West Side, which is actually an area which has a lot of good grocery stores. But for someone who works, you know, from 8 to 8 or something, it is really hard to hit farmers markets and, you know, smaller stores which exist and which sell amazing local products.
Right.
But in order to have every week those products, you need to do several stop grocery. Well, you have to go to several stores in order to get all the stuff you need. And I don't have the time for that right now. And I think a lot of people don't have the time to schedule their day in order to hit several stores to get their local products from the farmers market or from other stores. So we basically target those people who would love to eat local, good tasting local products, but who don't have the time necessarily to go to a farmer's market before 3 p.m., for example.
Or it's not close to your office.
Right, or it's not close to your office.
I think that, you know, you're very right. I mean, there's so many different types of shoppers and different ways you can shop right now. It's really exciting to see this model come about. And also, the thing about delivering, because you guys deliver... instead of having to go to a communal drop-off area, like I keep saying, comparing it to CSAs, but that's a big perk, especially if you're like disabled and you can't shop anyway, but you still want to cook. You don't want to order out and, you know, get Chinese food every night.
I mean, we strongly believe that there are a lot of amazing products out there already, and one of the issues is convenience for many people. Also, CSAs are highly, you know, a lot of people get them and love them, but often you have to pick them up somewhere. Often you get, you know, too much of one product. And we basically try to overcome that convenience factor and basically bring it to you. So there's no excuse anymore that you won't get those products you would like to eat.
Kate, what was your motivation for, leaving the world of restaurant foraging for personal foraging?
So, in between working for restaurants over the past few years, I've also spent a lot of time working for farms at Green Market. And this past summer, I worked for this totally amazing farm that I just love so much. It's called Maxwell's Farm. They're from New Jersey. They grow incredible produce that winds up in a lot of restaurants all over New York. And I spent the whole summer working full-time at the markets, talking with people about how they cook and what they cook and why they shop at the market. And it was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life to engage with people on a daily basis about how to cook things and how to store things. I think the most gratitude I experienced over the summer is when I told people how they should store basil to keep it well. I said, don't put it in your fridge. My God, don't put it in your fridge. Keep it the way you would keep fresh flowers, and it'll last for a week or 2 weeks. And I would have customers come back to me the next week and say, oh my gosh, my basil, it lasted me all week. I'm so excited. It didn't go, you know, it didn't go bad. And, you know, then I would have the experience of somebody looking at some new thing, you know, these tiny little fairy tale eggplants, and saying, oh, how do you cook these things? And I loved being able to help people cook the way that they wanted to cook. So I came into this feeling like, I want everybody to be able to cook with this amazing produce, even if they don't live near a farmer's market, or even if they need a little bit of help. And that's why every box comes with recipes, but not just recipes, you know, tips about, okay, here's how to make a grapefruit thyme cocktail. You know, if you just have a little bit of thyme left and, you know, half a grapefruit.
Yeah.
And, but also storage tips about, okay, here's your loaf of bread, but here's how you should store it. And if, okay, maybe you have a meeting, you know, you have evening meetings coming up and then your parents are in town. Okay, slice the bread and put it in a Ziploc bag and it's going to keep for 2 weeks in your freezer. Or, you know, here's how long you should keep your meat in the fridge before you can store it in the freezer. Or here's how to dry herbs so that you can keep them around. You know, just kind of setting people up for success. Just plain, simple ideas that aren't overwhelming and just kind of help people cook the way that they want to cook.
I love that little addition in each box.
We basically add those tips. That's what actually people would ask the farmer at the farmer's market. Since
right,
it's an online business, it's rather hard to ask us. So
we try to
ask those questions. So you're from the start.
You're at Bill Maxwell's farm for Union Square.
Yep.
Wednesday, Grand Army Saturday, and whatever else.
Union Square Monday, up at DAG near the UN on Wednesdays, and
that's
Grand
a
Army
busy,
on Saturday.
Yeah. So you were there. You were at a farmer's market stand like 4 or 5 days a week.
Yeah, and yeah, I've worked for a lot of different farms. I've worked for Buried Treasure and Cayuga. Working for Cayuga, you know, it's the dried beans, it's the grains. People really don't know what to do with these things. So that was a great experience about just kind of logging the hours of figuring out how do people cook.
And what are their questions
exactly.
They can target. Well, very cool. We're going to just have a quick little musical interlude and we'll be right back chatting more about Quincipal.
You're listening to R&R by Peels on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. You know, there's no more telling aspect, no more revealing virtue of a group of people having evolved in a lovely way than how they feed themselves, how they entertain, how they put food on the table, what they put on the table. Heritage Radio Network provides the clearest evidence that there's hope for us yet. Heritage Radio's like Fairway Market in that we both care deeply about what you're having for dinner tonight. Heritage Radio Network is not just about food, though. Every time I tune in, I learn something about things other than food, too. Architecture, design, stuff like that. But from where I stand, I still say, if you can't eat it, what's the point? For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
We're back with Marcus Jacoby, Kate Galassi of the newly started up startup, Quincipal. Now, before I get into some more embarrassing questions, I do need to figure out when, where, how to sign up. What's the deal?
Well, I'm just going to give you my phone number and everybody should just call me. No, don't do that. It's a terrible idea.
No, I mean our URL or website is www.quincipal.com.
Quincipal. What does that mean?
It is a made-up name, actually. We brainstormed.
Do you have quince?
Quince is in it.
Quince is every week in the box.
Well,
just you better love quince.
I actually don't.
No, it is a great word. I mean, it is a mixture of, you know, how a word feels and what can you do from a branding perspective, etc. So
I do feel that kind of going along with the special, very unique and seasonal and local for here flair of quince, that it kind of mirrors like what how you guys like really carefully and thoughtfully and personably choose your farmers and all the makers here and the products that you're getting and how to cook them and everything like that. It's not just your average, you know, grocery store like experience. It's something that has like a very unique signature. So it's like a quince is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
You're like, yeah, sure, whatever.
No, totally.
Anyway, so I have this embarrassing question series where what is the ultimate romantic date meal in your vision, in your dream world?
I'm going to let Marcus take that one first.
Okay.
I have to think about that.
Well, I mean, you know, lately, mostly what we've been eating is what's in the box. And, you know, Marcus is cooking for his pregnant wife. So I think that's pretty romantic that he goes home with, you know, a sweet potato every night and,
you know,
cooks for her.
Yeah, I did actually this, like last night, we did the same thing than you probably did on the weekend. The trumpet pasta with the ground beef, is that?
Oh, and I forgot the cremini mushrooms. And
well, onions. I haven't used them yet, actually.
I put that in there, too. And the yogurt. And mint.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So, whatever feed helps, like, your pregnant wife, is that kind of the drill?
That is right now the perfect... Well, yeah. There are a few things she doesn't want to eat right now. Mm-hmm. Or she doesn't feel like eating. So whatever makes her feel comfortable.
Whatever the lady says. I like that answer.
It's the best date meal for us right now, yeah.
Okay. All right. What do you think, Kate?
My first job in New York in the food world, I worked for Rick's Picks, pickler of all things local.
We've had him here on this show.
Yeah. And I love making pickles. And in my mind, there's nothing more romantic than an afternoon of making pickles.
Nice.
So I spent a lot of time. Dilly beans are, you know, one of my specialties, but I also like doing pickled fennel, pickled Brussels sprouts,
those
pickled
are
radishes.
Fun.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. So what would you put together pickles in any like sort of certain meal, or just like just open up jars and jars and reach in with your hands and crunch on pickles?
I mean, you can definitely go that route. I think that could make, you know, set you up for a great erotic story right there. But my favorite thing to to use pickles for is tacos. So
totally.
My roommate and I, we throw some really great tacos parties.
That's a great way to use them. Put them all out there, and yeah, it's so much better than like what iceberg lettuce is. What I grew up with thinking tacos at. So very cool. And do you have this where like right when you seal a jar, it sounds like you make kind of like cold packed pickles with the dilly beans?
I do both. I do refrigerator pickles and shelf stable.
Okay. I always feel like such a jerk if I open the jar within like a week or so, or a month even, after I seal it. Because I'm like, okay, this is good for forever. So why would I even open it now?
Well, I mean, there's that piece in the new Lucky Peach about the aged canned goods. Did you see that? Where it's like you want to age your sardines for like 10 years for maximum flavor. You could do the same thing with pickles.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I don't think you really want to do it with pickles, but you could.
I think it's okay, though. I think that it's probably saying something. It's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys have very different answers. I like that approach.
That's the strength of the business.
Who is the resident recipe writer? Because those were good sounding recipes, even though I didn't follow it. Sorry.
That's me. That's me. I write the recipes.
And they're going to be different each week? That's
different recipes every week. I spend my weekends writing recipes.
And a different little tip sheet, too.
Mm-hmm.
So... And how many, like three or four recipes or something like that?
We're shooting for five or six recipes every week, plus, you know, a few tips. Plus, you know, just kind of ideas sprinkled in there of like, okay, yeah, I've got this butternut squash. Well, there's some chav in the box. Like, ooh, crostini. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you don't need a full recipe for that. Maybe you just need a tip, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. What was, because I can't, I don't have them in front of me right now, but what was your suggestion for the sweet potatoes? Because I didn't use it yet.
So the two recipes that we had for the sweet potatoes were a sweet potato hash, you know, so Sunday morning brunch comes around and you want to cook for your friends a hash with the ground beef, sweet potatoes, onions, top it with a fried egg.
Right on. Okay.
And then the other thing we had was a roasted sweet potato and tangerine salad with a little bit, those baby lettuces that were in the box and some shaved red onion.
Oh, wow. Hey, that sounds really good. You've never worked in a kitchen, right? Just on the...
I have worked in a kitchen, but, you know, very briefly before I made it into the sourcing side. For the past couple of years, I've had a very informal supper club. So that's where most of my cooking energy goes.
Oh, I see. Cool. So I have to ask this, though. Why not do Quincible for chefs? If there's, like, some way to more efficiently and you know, kind of like scale up individual foragers, which is what you did for a few restaurants.
We're not discounting the idea that maybe we would do that one day. You know, we are keeping all of our options open. We're really excited to work on more projects down the road. But for right now, we really want to put all of our energy into making the best box that we can.
For people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And maybe chefs, I don't know, for their families.
The thing about chefs is every chef has a totally different style. I've worked with a lot of different chefs and, you know, that's part of the beauty about being a forager. But sometimes the best way to be a forager for a chef is to think like the chef. You kind of try and absorb all of their quirks and ideas so that when you're out in the world, you're thinking the way that they think. And so sometimes it can be hard to think for, you know, lots of different kinds of chefs because they want a lot of different kinds of things.
And I imagine that a lot of them want to have their own, if not themselves, because I've heard a lot of chefs go themselves, you know, they have to, or their sous chef does, then somebody from their staff that they like know and trust.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's exactly their thing. Well, it sounds like an exciting promise, though, and I hope that, you know, as this whole field progresses, which it surely is, and it's becoming broader, and field of, I don't know, what do you call it? Is there, like, a category for this
Not
service?
Yet. Not yet.
Farm no.
CSA
delivery,
meets Fresh Direct.
Market boxes, something. Weekly subscription, I don't know. Because everyone has a very... So my point was, everyone sort of has a very different, unique style and take on it. And it's exciting to see it grow and flourish. And I'll watch out for how Quincible develops too. Because I'm feeling with your background, you never know.
thank you.
So yeah, thank you so much for coming on air. Definitely check out Quincible.com and get your hands on a box. Thank you for giving me one because it was really yummy.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks, everyone at Heritage. We'll see you next week on Let's Eat In.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.